Don't go away. It's time to play America's favorite fun game, the Brenham Sports Line. The Brenham Sports Line brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaner, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. Props going out to Heine Minush and his all-star band, and as always in studio, our Sportsline mascot, Mookie the Rabid Badger. Ah, yes, Mookie particularly rabid tonight. Alright, because we're going to talk football and volleyball here on the Brenham Sports Line. That's right, we're going to talk Brenham Cub football, and we're going to talk Blinn Buccaneer volleyball. Coach Kaylee Mader is going to be joining us along with members of the Buccaneer volleyball team in the second half of the program. First half of the program, we are going to talk Brenham Cub football. Coach Glenn West joining us after the Cubs' victory Friday night. After they defeated Westside by a final of 39-6, Coach West was in studio Saturday morning in the Brenham the football roundup, and we will hear that conversation talking about the win for the Cubs, what the Cubs got out of it, and what to look forward to this week with Elgin and some of the long term effects of this solid victory over Westside this past Friday night. And again, that's with Coach Glenn West. That's all coming up here on the Brenham Sportsline Sports Talk with a local attitude. And again, second half of the program, Coach Mader and the Buccaneer volleyball team joining us here on the Brenham Sportsline. But coming up next, Coach Glenn West. And we'll hear what Coach West had to say Saturday after the Buccaneer, Brenham Cub victory Friday night over Houston Westside. That's coming up on the Brenham Sports Line Sports Talk with a local attitude.
You know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. You might even say we're America's favorite local brewer. Back in 1876, we had one St. Louis brewery. And people seem to like our hometown brew, so we've stayed true to that original recipe. We still use hops we hand-select ourselves. We still use our exclusive Beechwood aging process. We've just got more local brewers now, so we can guarantee fresh Budweisers for everyone. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. Just enter the born-on date on the bottle. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. From farm to finish to your phone, get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
Biden Texas Aggies are getting ready to kick off the 2016 season. I'm Dave South. Join me for Aggie football all this year on KWHI with a host of exciting newcomers and some familiar faces back from last year's team. The Aggies are primed and ready for some of the toughest teams in the nation. The 2016 season kicks off Saturday afternoon, September 3rd at Kyle Field against the UCLA Bruins. On your voice for Fighting Texas Aggie football, AM 1280, KWHI.
Chime. you never read too much into the season opener, but it sure was nice to open up the season with a win like we had last night.
Oh, I promise you, 1-0 is way better than 0-1. We've started that way the last, I don't know, I think it's somebody told me last night, it's been since 2011 since we won our first ball game. So, yes, feels very good to win the game. I'm very happy for the kids and very happy for the coaches.
And to win it playing the way that we did, I thought all around outstanding effort. Defense, I thought, played an outstanding game last night.
You know, our guys have worked really hard, and I've talked about that a lot through the fall camp. I mean, from day one, actually before we even started fall camp, they worked really hard during the summer, and that was noticeable, how bad they wanted to do things. But sometimes you worry that you try too hard or, you know, you keep talking about something that, you know, I want to get better, I want to do it different. You keep talking about what you didn't do well, and so worried a little bit about that. You know, wanted to get off on the right foot, and of course, you know, everybody knows Jacob Erlein, you know, got hurt in the spring, and so Kadarian Ray's never played, you know, a varsity football game. Never didn't even play football last year, so the unknown was big. And so I did not expect the first quarter to turn out like that did. And I will say this, we made some mistakes, and, you know, as the game went on, we made a lot of mistakes, which you would expect in the first game. But that first quarter may have been as good a first quarter for the first game of the year, execution-wise, as I can remember. We did not have a penalty. We did not have a bottled snap. We didn't miss tackle. Our kicking game was good. You know, we had a great first quarter, and that is a really fun way to start a season. Really was.
And you talked about the work ethic, the way the guys came back in shape, and how much of that is guys that played last year, the returning stars, the returning players from last year, saying that last season kind of left a bad taste in their mouths, and they felt they had something to prove, and took it upon themselves to kind of come back and work really hard to get this season going.
Well, I think it's 100% with the guys. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you can sit there as a coach and say we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but we don't play, we don't practice. They've got to make up their mind that's what they want to do, and I think they've shown so to this point that they really want to be there. And you know, we've got several, you know, it's a funny group because we've got some, I think, really good players. And I told you this yesterday when you came and talked to me. I said, you know, Ed, I think we're going to have a good football team. But we're really low in numbers. The senior class only has 13 players in it, or 14, including Dalton Dunfield. So it's a very small class of football players, one of the smallest we've ever had. But in that class, there's some really good football players. And I think also some good leaders, and that's been seen so far, because everything we've asked, they've done. And, you know, one of the things we're doing right now is we have a contract that each position coach has let the players set up, and they handle their own discipline. And just like Thursday, I was leaving the practice field, and two guys were 2 minutes late to weightlifting at 6 in the morning, and I was noticing they were making punishment drills out on the football field after we finished practice on Thursday. And, you know, almost one will go over there and say, hey, guys, not today. We're about to play tomorrow. But, you know, that's what we do. And they handled that and said, you know, you guys are 2 minutes late, so this is what you do. This is your punishment. And those are big things, and we've got to keep building on that. And certainly, as you said, you can't read too much into it, but it's a heck of a start.
Indeed it is. And as far as for the play itself, I thought excellent game plan. Coach Tim Erlein, I thought, did a great job of not making Kadarian Ray do anything too out of the ordinary, as far as I didn't really call on him to make any big plays above and beyond in his first start varsity football.
Yeah, other than his, 30-yard touchdown run?
His touchdown run was nice.
He's done a wonderful job with Kadarian, and he did all through the night last night. I mean, he never got on to him, and you don't need to get on to him because he is seeing, there is lots of bells and whistles and bombs going off all around him. And, you know, Tim does a wonderful job of just he and the quarterback together, you know, and just, hey, Let's be calm. Let's think about this. And Kandarian's a quick study. I mean, he is a quick study. So he picks up on things very fast, and he does a tremendous job with that. And Tim gives him only enough that he can handle, and he's handling it very well.
And I also thought did a great job of distributing the football to the running backs. Great job. I thought Ralph Calai gave you some power yardage, gave you some great running between the tackles. Tamaris McWilliams was able to give you kind of a change up, that kind of speed attack. Fourth quarter young man that came in and ran the ball very well for you.
Dathan Jones. Yes.
I'm sorry. Dathan Jones, I thought, did a nice job coming in late in the game, keeping the ball moving and keeping the clock running.
Dathan's going to be a good back. You know, he's a 190-pound sophomore that's going to be a really good football player as he learns what to do. And he's getting better and better. Yeah, you know, our play going in was simple. They were very athletic. And, wow, when we lined up to look at them in pregame warm-up, they were even better looking than we thought when we saw them scrimmage. And pretty nervous going into the ball game. We wanted to do well last night, and we were worried about that. But our plan offensively was pretty simple. We felt like we had to run the football and run right at them because they were very fast. And that first drive was exactly what we were hoping to do, exactly. You know, we had a short yardage situation, and we'll do that all year where we put Marquez at quarterback. And I feel like we can get some yards when that happens. And, you know, we were able to run the power game, which we haven't done in a long, long time. And the thing that's interesting about a power game is you run it, make two, you run it, make one, you run it, make three, you run it, make two, you run it, make 60. And that's what happens with that. And we did a great job of that starting off the ball game. And went right down and scored and kept that going for quite a while. Now, they made an adjustment, which we've got to get better at. And they started just putting everybody at the line of scrimmage and just stopping the run. And, of course, you know, when you're – it's a fine line. You're head 30 to – nothing or 30-6, and you're trying to make first downs, but you don't want, you're wanting to run the clock, and you're working with a young quarterback, and so we didn't want to put the game up to grabs, you know, by throwing the ball, and that kind of played into their hands, and so we'll look at that and see what we got to do to improve, but for a first game, it was exactly what we hoped to do.
And on the defensive side of the football, they had a very talented, explosive young man that we were able to, except for that very last drive of the first half, did a great job of keeping him quiet all night long.
You know, I all day yesterday I could not relax wondering if we could keep him contained and keep them, you know, keep their offense at bay. And I knew it had to start with our defensive front. And I felt like Marquez Bimage would have a big ball game, and he did, really big. But that was to be expected. I didn't know for sure how we would do inside. I thought Shannon Lambert had an excellent football game, which we need him to do. You know, he's 295 pounds. He's quick. He needs to play like that. He's strong. He had a great game. I thought also, you know, again, I haven't looked at the film yet, but I thought that Raekwon Bell did a nice job. So we kept that going. And then as the game went on, you started seeing Andrew Bashman make more and more plays. And we're going to need him to. So I think that front line is not bad. I mean, I think they're pretty decent, and we're going to really lean on them. The two linebackers, again, I haven't seen the film, but T.J. Nickerson and Tyree Jackson, I felt like did a really good job for the most part. And our secondary, we're very athletic back there, and they made one situation where they moved. Move the quarterback out to wide receiver. We knew that they would do that, and he just went up and made plays. And they've got two really good players with number one and number seven. They were both really athletic. But I think that also showed how athletic we can be when we moved moved Arvis out there at one corner and had the other corner with DeBrandon Charles and felt good about it. So safeties played well. Eric Preston, number 21, played very well. And sophomore Andre Gilmore, number 13, also did well. So all in all, I thought we played we made a ton of mistakes that we'll have to correct to keep winning. But we were very pleased, and, you know, we're 1-0.
And you never want to say, one or two plays were key plays in the whole ball game. The game as a whole, I thought, was outstanding. But two moments I thought that were key in the ball game. First coming late in the first quarter, when we got the ball, we recovered the fumble, got it down to about the 10-yard line. One play, touchdown pass, Kandarian hit Gurkha for that touchdown, threaded the needle, as Coach Van Hook said, and I thought that was key, scoring right the very next play off of a turnover. I thought was huge, and it gave us a 21-0 lead at the time.
Well, I agree with you. We needed to score. I think it was good for Kandarian to do that. It was also good for Gurkha for that to happen. He's a guy that didn't play football last year either, and, you know, the more confidence he can get, the better he can feel about being out there. You know, the more contributors you have to a good football team is what you want. You don't want one or two guys. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for several guys to step in and be contributors and help us continue to win. And I was proud of Gurkha for that.
And another moment I thought was a huge key was that Westside had an opportunity to get back in the game. They picked off a pass, returned it inside the 10-yard line, had first and goal, and the defense forced them to turn it over on downs. And I thought defense played a great series of four plays right there.
Yeah, you know, that may be as big a series as any in the ball game, because we were terrified at how quickly they could score, because of how you saw in the first half when they changed quarterbacks and started putting those two kids at receiver. It was about three plays, and they were in the end zone. And they were covered on every one of those plays. They just went up and got the ball. It was almost like guys against smaller guys or whatever. So at that point, I was at halftime, we made some adjustments, and Coach Mauser did a wonderful job, and Coach Puckett, Coach Teague, Coach Castellanos did a good job of putting that together and coming up with a plan in the secondary to stop that. And Coach Shiflett up front made some adjustments, and it was really good. But when that happened, I think it was early in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. It may have still been in the third.
I think it was late third, yeah.
And so at that point in the ball game, you know, they can still get in it. And they were looking for momentum. I mean, you could just see it. They wanted to have something happen. So that was a huge stop. And I'll contribute most of that to our secondary. They did a really good job.
Indeed. And now, of course, now the guys get a day or two to enjoy it, and now it's back to work on Monday. What are the things that you're going to stress when you guys get back to work on Monday? What are the things that you're going to talk to the team about?
Well, you know, I talked to them yesterday about something pure and simple. I said, you know, I know you want this to go well. You've worked so hard for this, and you're so excited for this. But what I found out about life is this: whatever you plan on happening, it never happens that way. There's always some new way that you didn't plan it to be is going to happen. But it's how you react to that and how you work with that and can stay with your goal that matters. And so didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know if we'd start the ball game off with four straight turnovers. Didn't know if we would start the game off by fumbling or getting a touchdown call back or missing a tackle, letting them score on the opening kickoff. I mean, you look through the years at how that first game has started, and everything's happened from them. You know, Brownwood scored on the first play of the game against us years ago. I mean, you just never know what's going to take place. But you can't lose the sight in your goal. You've got to continue to say, okay, just happened. Let's still go for the goal that we had set, and don't lose your eyes on the prize. It also happens when you do well. I mean, the same thing happens. You have your goals, and you do surprisingly well, or you start off surprisingly good, and how are you going to handle that as well? You know, we're not a very good football team right now. There's no question about it. I mean, I don't even have to look at the film to see that. We did not, you know, the first quarter was really good, but then we didn't play really good after that. Why? Well, we'll look and see. We're going to have to be able to throw the ball better. We're going to have to be able to stay on sides. We're going to have to not get holding penalties. We're going to have to continue to block better. We're going to continue as coaches to have to keep finding things we can go to. And the same thing defensively. So there's a ton of things to work on, and I hope it's much easier to do it after a win than after a loss. I hope that our guys come to work today, because as soon as I get off this radio show, I'll go meet the players. I hope they show up and they're ready to go and they want to improve, and I think they will. I think they're going to be excited. I think they're going to show some confidence, and I think we're going to want to go over to Elgin and have a good showing.
All right, and next step is Elgin, the Wildcats, a strong playoff team for the past several years. Coach Garfield, my old classmate from college, doing an outstanding job with that program over there.
Yeah, Coach Garfield is a very good football coach. And if you remember 2 years ago, we played him in the second round of the playoffs and beat him on the last play.
What a game that was.
With a field goal, and it was his first year there. He does, I haven't seen one thing on them, but I can tell you they'll run spread on offense and turn around and do that Notre Dame box where they basically do what we did last night with Marquez, but crowd everybody inside and hand the ball and just run right at you. He's going to make you defend everything. And I'm positive that he was at the game last night because they played on Thursday night. So seeing somebody in person can really help your football team as far as understanding what they're trying to do. So there'll be no surprises. When Marquez goes at quarterback, they're going to know it. They're going to know about Kendarian Ray. They're going to suspect that we don't throw the ball very well, which we're going to get better at. They're going to know who is the better secondary player by seeing them live. And it will be a challenge. And football is one that, you know, Ed, we always talk about this, where you got to get better each and every week. And if we'll improve from this week to next week, you know, we'll be that much better football team. And we keep doing that, eventually we'll have a good team. But it's a long way to go, and we need to go into Elgin now. And, man, it would be great to be 2-0. That's what we're going to go after.
All right, hitting the road next Friday night. Last night, one or two quick questions. Just, first of all, the crowd last night. Obviously, a season opener, you're going to have a good crowd anyway. But, boy, I thought last night they were just loud and rowdy, and it was a great atmosphere last night at the stadium.
It really was. It was electric, and you know, some of that's because it's the first game of the year. But I tell you, a whole lot of that is our superintendent, Dr. Walter Jackson, and Joe Chandler, our principal, made an effort that this was going to be, we're going to kick off to a great start. And it was going to be, you know, you just look at the motto we have, you know, we're one. We're one and we're better together. And in doing a great job, Dr. Jackson is, of this district pulling together and being consolidated and being one unit. And that was obvious in the spirit of last night. We had a pep rally yesterday morning. It was literally the best pep rally that we've had this is my 19th year. And that was the best pep rally we've ever had. And I think that has to do with Joe Chandler and our cheerleaders and our band, our drill team, and our student body. Vicki Williams told me yesterday that we sold more season tickets than she can student tickets than she could remember. So our students were excited. And I think that has to do with our administration. They decided we're going to have a great start, and we did.
All right. And one last thing, Coach, a very emotional moment at the start of the game. Standing ovation from the crowd when Dalton Dunfield went out for the opening toss. How important was it for his teammates to see him go out there for the coin toss?
Well, I think it's how, you know, what he means to us, you know, such a tragedy that took place, and it took place with us in the weight room. So we all feel responsible for that situation. You know, he had some weights. He slipped when he was doing some weightlifting in the spring, and it caused him to have his injury. And to watch his courage, to watch what he, you know, he told me yesterday when the team, you know, we had said he was going to be an honorary captain all season. And I don't know if he'll be able to make every game away and home, but when he's there, he's going to be a part of us. I certainly expected us to wheel him out there for the coin toss. And he said, no, Coach, I'm going to walk. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And good for him. Good for him. Because, you know, as I said earlier about life not being what you planned it to be, that's a great example. I mean, what he had planned his senior year to be, that wasn't what he planned. But as a winner and as a great person, he will turn that into a positive, and he's already doing that.
All right. And win or lose last night, that was a great way to start the season, I'll tell you, Coach.
I 100% agree. And he's part of us, and he will continue to be part of us, and he's going to continue to get better.
All right.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
The oldest county fair in the state of Texas, the Washington County Fair, is a full 9 days of fun and entertainment from Friday, September 9th through Saturday, September 17th. Friday, September 9th features barbecue cook-off and wine event. Saturday, September 10th kicks off with a trail ride, plus chuck wagon cookers and youth rodeo play day. Attend the fair parade at 10 a.m. in downtown Brenham. There's also archery, wildlife critter exhibit, and talent show. The Junior Miss and Mr. Pageant at 5 and Queen's Crowning at 6 is followed by a concert featuring Old Southern Moonshine Revival and Kevin Fowler.
I want to get loose, get loud, get crazy.
Get your season ticket from one of the Queen candidates so you don't miss one night at the 148th Washington County Fair. Find out more online at WashingtonCOFair.com or call the fair office at 979-836-4112. The fair is sponsored by LaRoche Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, South Central Concrete, Citizen State Banks, Kavisa Catering, and Tegler Toyota.
Coming up at 6 o'clock, this is the Brenham Sports Line, Sports Talk with a Local Attitude. And when we come back, Buccaneer Volleyball on the Brenham Sports Line here on KWHI.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Mark Remillard. Huma Abedin, longtime aide to Hillary Clinton and the wife of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, says she's leaving her husband after yet another round of sexting allegations against him. ABC's political director Rick Klein has more.
This is, of course, the third time that his name has been in the headlines via various sexting scandals. And right now, this is a tenuous time for the Clinton campaign. There is no more high-profile campaign aide than Huma Abedin, almost a surrogate daughter, a former body woman, someone who is the closest of close aides inside the campaign, a role she also played at the State Department. That relationship has already come under scrutiny, now increasingly so, given the relationship with Mr. Weiner falling apart.
Come with me, and you'll be...
Comedic actor Gene Wilder has died at his Connecticut home following a private battle with Alzheimer's disease. Wilder was known for starring in roles like in films like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Blazing Saddles, and Young Frankenstein. He was 83 years old. A deadly explosion in Texas after a truck carrying Takata airbag parts was involved in an accident. It's more bad news for the company, which is currently undergoing a massive recall of more than 100 million inflators following malfunctions that killed 11 people and injured more than 100 others. ABC's Maggie Rooley has more.
The explosion killed one person and injured four others. It's believed the truck carrying Takata airbags and propellant was in an accident, and the resulting fire caused the explosion. The company issued a statement saying Takata has strict safety procedures relating to the transportation of its products that meet or exceed all regulatory requirements. They continue on to offer their thoughts and prayers to the families of those affected. Maggie Rooley, ABC News.
A Virginia school board is urging the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on whether a transgender male should be allowed to use the boys' bathroom at his high school. The Gloucester County School Board is asking the high court to overturn an appeals court ruling that said barring the student from the boys' room violates federal law. This is ABC News.
Low, 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 low.
How low has your credit score plummeted?
Well, the Credit Law Center can lift your credit score up, up, and away.
All the way up to 720, no matter how low your credit score has gotten.
Grab a pen, because there's no risk and no obligation when you call the Credit Law Center. Simply speak to one of our credit score financial specialists, and they'll tell you how you can raise your credit score from the ashes all the way up to 720. All you pay is a nominal fee per credit reporting agency. Just $99 per agency, that's it. No monthly fees. Call 800-543-5772. And the Credit Law Center will work to increase you to a legitimate credit score up to 720 on the legal record of every credit reporting agency. That's 800-543-5772. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772 now. It's legal, it's cheap, and we all know our credit score rules our financial existence. Our experts are waiting to help you. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772 now.
After more than 35 years in prison, John Lennon's assassin has again been denied parole. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Mark David Chapman tried and failed for the ninth time to be let out on parole. The parole board commended him for accepting responsibility and conceding what he did was selfish and evil, but the board also said, in spite of many favorable factors, we find all to be outweighed by the premeditated and celebrity-seeking nature of the crime. Chapman crouched into a combat stance and shot John Lennon in December 1980 as he and Yoko Ono returned to their Manhattan apartment. Chapman can try again for parole in 2 years. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Investigators at LAX working to figure out what prompted the first of several 911 calls that falsely reported gunshots in one of the airport's terminals. The report sent panicked travelers running into the streets and onto the tarmac. A search found no evidence of shots being fired.
I'm Ed Pothel with the KWHI local news update. Former sheriff of Washington County has passed away. Billy Rosenbaum died Saturday at the age of 66. He served as Washington County sheriff for 8 years, from 1985 to 1993. Prior to his election as sheriff, Rosenbaum served as sheriff's deputy and chief deputy for 16 years. He also served 4 terms as precinct 4 Washington County constable. Funeral services for former sheriff Billy Rosenbaum will be Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, at Memorial Oaks Chapel. A second public hearing on the proposed tax rate for the city of Brenham, part of Thursday's meeting of the Brenham City Council. Earlier this month, city staff members proposed that the city adopt a tax rate of 50.7 cents per $100 valuation. That's 3.4 cents higher than the current tax rate for the city of Brenham. Also, possible approval of the $60.4 million budget is on the agenda following the public hearing. The city council set to meet Thursday afternoon, 1 o'clock, at Brenham City Hall. A Bryan man arrested in Brenham on assault charges. 22-year-old DeMarcus Deshaun Sanders of Bryan arrested Friday afternoon by Brenham police. The suspect had left the scene of the incident, but was arrested a short time later, charged with a warrant for assault, family violence, assault causing bodily injury, family violence, and interference with an emergency phone call. A Hempstead man faces charges after traffic stop Saturday afternoon in Brenham. 51-year-old Ronald Benjamin Rodriguez has been charged with driving while intoxicated, third or more offense, and driving while license invalid with a previous conviction. The forecast calling for cloudy skies, an 80% chance of rain overnight, and a low of 73. Partly cloudy Tuesday, a high of 91. I'm Ed Pothel for KWHI, where the news comes first.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. You might even say we're America's favorite local brewer. Back in 1876, we had one St. Louis brewery. People seem to like our hometown brew, so we've stayed true to that original recipe. We still use hops we hand-select ourselves. We still use our exclusive Beechwood aging process. We've just got more local brewers now, so we can guarantee fresh Budweisers for everyone. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed, where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. Just enter the born on date on the bottle. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. From farm to finish to your phone, get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
And we're back here on the Brenham Sports Line. Sports talk with a local attitude, brought to you by Class Care Cleaner, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. And by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins, your local distributor. And I want to thank Coach Glenn West, who joined us again this past Saturday morning following the Cubs' victory. And good to hear from him in the first half of our program. Now we are going to change gears and talk volleyball. Blinn Buccaneers got the 2016 season underway this past weekend in Tyler. And joining us is Coach Kaylee Mader of the Buccaneers and members of the Buccaneer team. And, Coach, welcome back to the program. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And first of all, How's everything gone the first couple of weeks?
It's gone. We had some good moments this past weekend and opening weekend, and then we had some not-so-great moments. So, all in all, we did okay.
Yeah, I know that, you know, obviously you can't read a lot into the first weekend, but what are some of the things that you saw that give you a lot of encouragement and have you excited about this season?
I think that there were moments that we showcased a very well-rounded team, and I think that'll be important come November. And I think that we got to see some styles of play that we don't see every single day in our gym. And so now we have to work on doing better against those styles, and I think we'll do better in the future.
All right. And what are some of the things you think that that could define this team? What are some of the strengths that you feel that this team can play to as they develop as you go along?
I think that we have a lot of depth in our team this year. We have 16 players that can play at a high level, and I think that's going to be important for us and an advantage that we have that maybe other teams do not have.
And talk a little bit about last year. I know that that's ancient history when you start talking to coaches. Hey, last year was last year. But talk about, taking over a program and in your first year of taking over, guiding the team to the national tournament. Obviously, that had to be exciting. And talk about what you were able to establish as far as getting your personality over to these players.
I think it was definitely a learning curve on all parts, mine and then also my players, getting to know them and what was going to work for us that year. I think that looking forward, I'm really thankful for the players that we had last year, and I think that they established a tradition within our incoming freshmen. There were freshmen last year and now sophomores. And for us to have six players that all stepped foot on the court at the national tournament is a big deal. And so I'm happy that we have six of those returning, and hopefully they can leave some kind of legacy.
Right. And in addition to, as you said, leaving a legacy, also, what are some of the things you feel that they can impart to some of the freshmen coming in this year, having been there, done that?
They understand the complexity and the sacrifices it takes to be a top-level team, and I think that they don't bat an eye when it comes to putting forth that effort, and it's something that freshmen have to learn. They're definitely overwhelmed, and so it's nice to have six people that can show them, like, it's going to be okay, and you can do it.
And what about the how do you feel the freshmen, especially the incoming freshmen, are going to deal with as far as the expectations? Because, you know, the Blinn program is known now nationwide in junior college volleyball circles. Everybody knows, you know, the success that it's been a part of. And so they know what's going to be expected of them when they come in.
You know, we don't really talk a lot about expectations because every year is a new clean slate. And I think that is the biggest thing, the biggest battle I fight with my kids every year is just letting go. Like, no, none of that has already happened is going to dictate what happens this year. So setting their own expectations.
All right. Now talk a little bit about this year's team, the makeup of this year's team. First of all, let's talk about your returning sophomores.
I have six returning sophomores. I have Allie Lanick as a setter, Alexis Kingston as a right side, Ebony Mitchell as an outside, Danusha as a libero and outside, and I have two other liberos, KK and Haley. And so we have a lot of passing. And in the game of volleyball, passing is really important, so that's certainly going to be a big difference in this year's team versus last year's team is our experience in the back row. Plus, we have two all-conference players, probably would have had a third had an injury not happened, and then we have a setter who was in the gym every single day with the best setter in the country, so she may not have had a lot of experience on the court, but she certainly competed every single day against the best setter in the country.
All right, and one thing that it seems like every 4 years, there's a spike in the popularity of volleyball, and it seems to come right along with the Olympics. Talk about the popularity of the game and the fact that the Olympics was just this past, a couple of weeks ago, and that probably there's going to be even more public interest, at least for this season.
Yeah, so the Olympics is a really great platform for our game to be showcased because there isn't professional volleyball in the United States. And so when they are able, when the world or the United States is able to watch that, I think that it really piques their interest. And we go through this phase of, man, I wish we had professional volleyball, but that's not the case. And so that's exciting for our kids. And I think it'll be fun if we do have a more interest in our game.
All right. And you talked about the sophomores. Talk about the freshmen that are coming in and this freshman class from this year.
Yeah, I have a lot of talented freshmen coming in. I think this weekend we played 14 of our 16 on the roster, so I think that just plays into what I talked about before as the depth goes. It's hard to pick out one of them to talk about. We have several good middles, and we have some liberos that will probably show themselves on the court a little bit. So they certainly have strengths that our returners do not, and so it's a nice balance.
And what's the personality of this team? In that, by personality, I mean some teams live for, you know, the big hit. They're power-oriented teams. Some teams are defense-oriented teams. Is it too early to kind of classify this team, or do you kind of have an idea what this team's going to be?
I think we're an everything-oriented team. I think we have a little bit of everything. We have people with control. We have people with power. We can put up a big block. We can go small. I mean, we have it all. So I think it just depends on what night you come watch us to see what we decide to do that day.
And how much of a thrill is it to know that you've got the bullseye on your back, that every time you play somebody, that's their game. They're playing for this night to take on Blinn.
It's a blessing in disguise. Some people would say, that's tough having a bullseye on your back, but no, it's exactly how we want to play. We want to play people at their best because that's only going to make us better and prepare us for where we're trying to be. So it's exciting. We don't really talk about it much, but we just play our game.
It is a rush, isn't it?
Yeah, we love to play.
All right. And, Coach, you've got your players with you. We're going to talk to them in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we are going to hear from members of the Buccaneer volleyball team. This is the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. And when we come back, members of the Bucs here on KWHI.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
Hi, my name is Alexia Chadron. I'm running for the 2016 Washington County Fair Queen under Brenham FFA. I'm the daughter of Wesley and Amy Stewart and granddaughter of Pauline Woman Hodges. I'm currently attending Brenham High School as a junior. I have been showing in the Washington County Fair for the past 8 years, exhibiting halter heifers and rabbits. I will have season passes for sale for $25 through September 9th. If you're interested in purchasing one in advance, give me a call or visit some of the local businesses such as Aaron's Brothers Transport, Trace Chic, Friends Salon, Anatomy, Washington County Tractor, Southern Charm, Bluebonnet Cleaners, K&M Grocery. I'm looking forward to a great 148th Washington County Fair.
We're back in the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude here on KWHI. And we are in studio with members of the 2016 Blinn Buccaneer volleyball team and Coach Kaylee Mader. And Coach, if you could introduce your players to us.
Right here with me today, I have Allie Lanick, a setter from George Ranch High School. I have Alexis Kingston out of Houston, Texas. Ebony Mitchell out of Austin, Danusha Sipa-Borgo from Australia. I have Michaela Gurley out of Sweeney, Texas, and Haley Ewald from Caldwell.
All right, and so let's talk with the players. Let's start with Allie right to your left there, Coach. And Allie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
All right, great to have you here. And first of all, how excited are you to get this thing going?
Oh, so excited.
All right, talk about the season so far. How have the practices gone, and how you feel about the first weekend of the season?
I think everything so far has gone really well, a lot smoother than last year, so that's good. First tournament of the season, I think it was good in that it exposed some of our weaknesses to us, and so we can work to build from there.
And this weekend also, you played some very tough teams, and that's one thing that has been the hallmark for years for Blinn is a tough schedule before you even get into conference play. And so talk about playing all the tough teams. How does that prepare you for conference?
Well, the tougher team you play, the more experience you're going to have. So it's good for us. Like, we're going to start conference strong.
All right, and what's going to be the key this year? What do you feel the things, what's going to be the thing that, or what are going to be the things that you guys have to do to be successful this season?
We're going to have to play as a team, work together, and stay disciplined in practice and work our hardest every day, like no days off.
So. All right, and you've got another tough weekend coming up, San Jack, some good teams. You're going to face some strong competition. What do you hope to do this weekend now? What are some of the things you hope to work on this weekend?
Well, I'll take one game at a time, one point at a time, because every point matters, and just improve as a whole.
All right, Allie, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and next up is Alexis, and welcome to the show. Thanks for being here tonight.
Hi.
All right, talk a little bit about... first of all, what's your favorite part of the game? What do you like to do better than anything when you're out on the floor?
My favorite part of the game is just the atmosphere of it all. I love that it's a group of people that love the same sport. Like, volleyball is something that you don't see too often. It's not football or basketball. We don't have a professional team. So to just be out there and playing something that not many know about or know even how to play, it kind of brings me joy to know that I'm one of the few people that enjoy a game that's so rare.
And how about the season so far? How do you feel about the way things have kind of developed at least the first few weeks?
I feel like the season's gone really smooth. We've developed a lot, like from week one. We've learned about each other. We've learned about our weaknesses, especially after this last tournament. Like Allie said prior, that it exposed us to a lot of kind of gray areas. So coming back from that tournament, we've been long hours in the gym, hard working, trying to kind of iron those wrinkles out as a whole.
And what are some of the things that you feel over these next couple of weeks are going to be really, really important as far as the development of this team?
I think the most important aspect is that we stay together as a team. We are extremely disciplined with what we were taught and what we're learning. Like, we can't break down. We can't let a hard serve or a hard swing break down what we've built for the past couple weeks.
All right. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right. And next up is Ebony, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
All right, great to have you here. And talk about the season so far. What's it been like getting into school, workouts, and now classes getting started? What's those first few weeks been like?
They've been really smooth, and I feel like all of us have connected with the freshmen really fast, and I feel like the freshmen have came in, worked hard, and So have the sophomores.
And what's it like being, as a sophomore, being considered now one of the team leaders now? What's different from this year to last year?
Well, the leaders last year really set, like, a high standard. And the other sophomores and I have just, I feel like we've done a good job filling that shoe.
And as far as the team's development, what do you feel is maybe the most important thing that's gonna make you guys, that's gonna get you back to the national tournament?
Just having discipline and remembering the simple things that we need to do, and it all come together.
And of course, as is the case every year, to get there, you've got to go through the region and. Another tough region again expected this year. What's it like playing in region play, playing tough teams pretty much every night you go out there?
Well, if we work just as hard as we did last year, then it we were very nervous, but we ended up like sweeping most of the teams. So I feel like if we work just as hard, then it's possible to do it again.
All right, and what about for you is the most fun part of going out there on the court? What's the most fun thing you do when you're out there?
The most fun part is, I guess, celebrating after scoring a point in any way.
All right. Ebony, thanks for being with us tonight. All right, and next up is Danusha, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, great to have you here. And what have the last couple of weeks been like as far as getting ready for this season?
They've been pretty full on. We've had a lot of trainings in a short period of time, which has gotten us to get better already. From day one till now, we've improved so much. So it's just exciting to see how much further we can go with that. And yeah, now classes are beginning, so training less, but so we'll have to do more quality training, I guess, in a shorter period of time. But, no, it's been good.
And what do you feel as far as, or how do you feel as far as now being a person that has to kind of set the example for this year's freshmen as opposed to last year having the other sophomores kind of tell you what it was like?
Yeah, it's a different role, definitely, because last year we just followed in the footsteps of others, whereas this year we are setting that example, and it's we're learning the ropes of that too, and finding the fine lines between being the example, or we could just, because we could easily take the easy road, but it's much more rewarding for us as sophomores and for the whole team to take the high road and make it harder so we can get better and we can do the right thing and be hopefully a national, winning national team. So.
All right. And as the folks who are listening can tell you, you don't sound like a native Texas girl.
No.
tell them where you're from.
So I'm from Australia. I live in the capital of Australia, Canberra, which is around 3 hours from Sydney. I moved to Texas last year to come to Blinn to play volleyball. So, yeah, it's been a great experience, very different from home. Yeah.
All right, the climate a little bit different?
Yes, it's very hot here, very humid, especially because I just came from my summer break was really a winter break back home, so that was fun getting coming back not tan and seeing everyone tan, but no, it's never cold here, so I like that.
All right, Danusha, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and next up is Michaela, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, and talk a little bit about this team this year. How do you feel about the makeup of this year's team?
I feel like the makeup of this year's team is actually really great. Everybody seemed to have gotten along pretty well, And I just feel from day one being in the practice and meeting each other and seeing the talents, it's just, I feel like it's going to be a great season.
All right. And what are some of the things you feel are going to make this a great season? What are some of the key things you feel that that have to happen over these next few weeks to get this team rolling?
Well, most definitely, like people have mentioned before, is realizing our weaknesses and working individually and then as a team as a whole on fixing those weaknesses and really focusing in on what we need to do in order to get better, in order to be disciplined and be able to make it back as far as we did last year.
All right. And one thing Coach mentioned, well-rounded team. You guys feel like there's just not one aspect of the game that is better than the other, that you do them all pretty well?
Yes, sir, that's correct. We do have a very well-rounded team. I feel like it's sometimes you have the teams where their defense is better than their offense or that their service receive is the best. But as for our team, it's actually, I feel like it's very impressive that everyone is able to, I mean, you have outside hitters that can pass just as well almost as the liberos. So it's really nice to be able to have a roundabout team that you can expect greatness from all of them.
All right. And also, talk about one thing that that everybody talks about, championship teams, that killer instinct. And anybody that watches, anybody that comes to the Blinn matches knows you guys got that killer instinct. What does that mean to you when you hear that word, killer instinct?
Oh, just, I don't know, just wanting to defeat the other team, like wanting to just no mercy, you know, just being so competitive and working so hard as a team that we just want to not give them an opportunity to cheer so we can just win. That's just.
All right. Thanks, Michaela. Thanks for being here tonight. All right. And next up is Haley, and welcome to the show.
Hey.
All right. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You?
Doing all right. Hiding over there behind all the equipment. There you go. first of all, how do you feel about the way things are developing these first couple of weeks?
I feel like we've done really, really well. I don't want to bring last year up, but, like, I feel like it's way, way, way better than last year. Everything just flows really well together. We're just put really well together. I don't know.
All right. And as far as these next couple of weeks before you get into conference play, what are the things you feel that you have to do as far as getting ready to be competitive when you get to conference?
I think if we just, like, play out of our own bodies, like, talk to each other on the court, go all out for everything on the court, play your spot, play your role, I think we have it pretty much covered.
And what are some of the things you feel that are going to be the keys as far as being successful again this year? What are some of the things that you feel this team has to do to be successful?
I think we just need to start executing. Once the ball gets on our side, just put it away. Don't give them time to come back.
All right. And also talk a little bit about the home games for Blinn, because I'll tell you, that crowd gets crazy. You got some fanatics. You got people that just make noise. And talk about the home matches. What's it like to play home games?
We definitely like feeding off the energy our fans bring to the game with them. It helps us on the court. We get more pumped as the game goes on because it gets louder.
All right. And Haley, the goals for this year as far as what you expect out of this team?
I think we're going to make it to nationals. I think once we get there, we just need to start pulling all the loose ends together, making connections where they need to be. I think we should just, like, fly through. No one can see us.
All right. Haley, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right. And, Coach, one thing that as you listen to this group of sophomores talk, as you've heard them what are some of the things that strike you about this group of athletes?
You know, it's been a really special experience. This is my first year in all the years I've been coaching to coach a group of people 2 years in a row. And so I'm used to those texts. They're like, Coach, we miss your intensity every single day. But I haven't been used to seeing a group of people grow from the day one when I saw them. Now I picture them as little baby volleyball players to who they are now, young women. And it's really special to hear them talk and to hear them say things that are aligned with what I'm trying to get them to do.
All right. And one thing that I asked, I had Coach Yeager on last week, and I'd ask you the same thing, Coach. I thought one of my favorite quotes when I was watching the Olympics was during the volleyball coverage, was when they asked the analyst, they said, well, it seems like they have so much more fun than other athletes in other sports, and why is that? And they said, it's because last point was last point. You have so many points that, hey, this is, you know, wipe that out of your mind. This is now, let's live in the now. This is what this point's all about. And that's why it seems like they just seem to have more fun out there on the floor.
Sure. So volleyball can become a game of momentum if you don't have the next play mentality, something we talk about pretty regularly. And it's a fast-paced game. A lot of people like to watch the game and think that volleyball is really easy. And that's really not the case at all because, you know, a ball's coming at you 40 miles per hour, and good luck if you want to pass that. You're probably not going to be able to move very far. And so there's a lot that goes into the training and prep. And when you finally get, you know, we've been training for 3 weeks and we finally get to a match, that's pretty exciting. Every single point, you're excited that you got that one.
All right. And, well, Coach, as always, appreciate you joining us and wish you the best of luck throughout the season. Look forward to visiting with you again as the season moves on. And, again, we urge everybody to come on out, support the Buccaneers. When do the folks get a chance to see the Bucs at home? Because you guys are going to be on the road this weekend.
Yeah, so next weekend we'll be playing our home tournament, and we'll actually be playing at Brenham High School for that home tournament. So it should be a very neutral environment to see some good volleyball. And we play at 7 o'clock on Thursday night against a team out of New York, so it should be fun.
All right, so next Thursday night, 7 o'clock at the Brenham High Gym.
Yep.
So I urge everybody to come on out, check out the Bucks, and as they say, come early, get loud, and stay late.
That's right. Thank you.
All right, thanks to Coach Mader, and thanks to the Buccaneers. Thanks for joining us, and go get them. Arrgh. All right, and we will be back to wrap it up here in the Brenham Sports Line right after these messages.
Labor Day savings starts Sunday, August 28th at your local Sears Hometown Store on Becker Drive in Brenham. Sunday, August 28th through Sunday, September 11th, take 40% or more off appliance doorbusters and up to 30% off all other appliances. Use your qualifying Sears card for an extra 5% off all appliances or 12-month special financing on all appliances over $499 and free delivery on appliances over $499. No credit, no problem. Great lease-to-own options are available, too. Take up to 20% off power lawn and garden equipment, plus you'll find hot deals on riding mower door busters. You'll save up to 50% on Craftsman mechanic tool sets and tool storage, too. Take advantage of their hometown exclusive mattress offer and get 4 for free. A free award card up to $50, free box spring, free bed frame, and free delivery on select Sealy Posturepedic, Serta Perfect Sleeper, and iComfort models. Plus save up to 60% on mattress and or foundations. It's all happening at your local Sears Hometown Store, August 28th through September 11th. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
One, two, three, four!
Want to thank Coach Mader and the Blinn Buccaneers for joining us here tonight on the Brenham Sports Line. And a reminder, Astros baseball is coming up right here on KWHI. And I want to take a quick moment to mention when I get done tonight, I'm going to go home, I'm going to grab a little dinner, going to sit down, and I'm going to watch, I don't know, maybe Blazing Saddles, maybe Young Frankenstein, maybe Stir Crazy. Might put in See No Evil, Hear No Evil. going to just put something in to remember the absolute comic genius that was Gene Wilder. And in Gene Wilder's own words, as they say in Corsica, goodbye. And goodbye to a comic genius. You've been listening to the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. Want to thank Coach Mater and the members of the Buccaneers for joining us tonight. And remind everybody that next Monday night, no sports line because of the Labor Day holiday. We'll be back next Tuesday night with our pro football preseason special. That's right. We'll pick all the winners in the National Football League. Yeah, like we were been any good at that the last couple of years. But we'll get our crack staff together next Tuesday night here on the Brenham Sports Line. Brought to you by Classic Air Cleaner, South Mark Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. And by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing. We'll see you next Tuesday night on the Brenham Sports Line. Same bat time, same bat channel. Astros baseball coming up on KWHI.